Hello, everyone. Welcome to Toonami Therapy. On March 26th of 2024, I'm Michael.
I'm Tommy.
And this is our podcast, Toonami Therapy, in which we talk about anime that we've been watching, sometimes other shows, and frequently, but not always, even talk about some things on Toonami. All right. Okay, Zally. So we'll start with that. We've got the Toonami shows to discuss. We don't have any real news, I don't think, other than the fact that Zom 100 is starting next week. But we already knew that, so...
Yeah.
Okay. So, we've got Ninja Kamui, where... So, we find out that it defies expectation. The character gets some flashback information... And they don't die right away. She actually, what's her name? I still keep thinking of her FBI lady, Asuka. I think that was her name. So she actually doesn't die. So good. You made me actually interested in this character, and you didn't immediately kill them off. I kind of hate the fact that I have to, you know, say that that's kind of above the curve for some series. But anyway, so she survives. Our main character, Higen, manages to beat the bad guy. Then we do get another flashback, though, from, Asuka, basically to talk about what her relationship with Hidan's wife was, which was basically that she was her mentor and she really thought highly of her, so... Well, I'm using she and her in the same thing, and it's not clear which one I'm talking about. Okay, Asuka says that she looked up to the woman who became Hidan's wife. And so she is, of course, annoyed about the fact she got killed. So that's why she's helping him, as I understand. And yes, that was essentially the episode.
Yeah, I thought it was actually better than some of the... I thought it was actually a pretty good episode for the series. Not that it's necessarily a good episode, but it had me interested in it, at least, you know?
Yes, I thought this was pretty good also. It like I said, maybe it's just I was relieved, okay, you didn't kill the character off right after I started kind of caring about them. So that's, maybe it was just that. But beyond that, the fact that the plot I followed better than usual, and the fact that the flashback information we got some more in this episode, but it explains things. Maybe it kind of went on a little longer than it needed to, but the information we got was good. So, yeah, this if this is more what we'll be getting more of going forward, I think I've kind of been low on the show for a while, but I do think that it does seem to be showing more promise now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So we get on to Demon Slayer episode 44, which is instead of a half an hour, it's 3/4 of an hour. And if they had cut out the lengthy flashback, it would have been a normal length episode. Okay, so basically, so Sound Hashira guy who is poisoned. Well, Nezuko has the ability to, I guess, get rid of it. This apparently was kind of established before, but she does that, so he survives. So if you were thinking. Which I'm actually kind of appreciative of, because it would have been annoying if they had two arcs in a row, introduced a Hashira, one of the Hashira guys, and they're like, oh, this guy's really strong, oh, he dies at the end. The weird thing is that I feel like throughout this arc, I feel he got more development and more reason to care than Sengoku, whatever, it was something Goku, the flame guy in the previous one, because he was like not really there, and it's like the saddest thing ever that he dies, and then this character, who I actually would have been more sad about dying, survives. Okay, so then we get a So then, like I said, those other two demons who were siblings are basically arguing with each other while in the they're in the process of decomposing. But then Tanjiro and Nezuko show up, and Tanjiro gives a speech about how you should care about family, or I can't remember exactly what he said, but it's something like that. So then they die, and we get a big flashback about them that, again, goes on for like 12 minutes or something about them. I won't just about, you know, the difficulties of their lives and all that stuff before they became demons, like the show does for like every demon that dies, it seems. Except for the guy in the Mugen Train. He just dies and we don't get his backstory, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so there's that. Apparently what happens with them is that he's supposed to go to hell, but she's supposed to go to heaven, but doesn't want to leave him, so they go to hell together. Happy ending, I guess. Anyway, that's the end of that. The arc's over, and everyone's healed. So basically, they managed to kill off one of the Espada, and no one important actually died this time, or no one who had any, none of the good guys died this time. So the end. So
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, so we of course get the obligatory, okay, they're about to die, we get the big backstory thing that's supposed to explain everything about them and be emotional, and I'll be fair, there's like, you know, some kind of emotional stuff in it, but again, this is about characters who are about to die and not be in the series anymore. So what was the point of that? It's so weird for me to say, Demon Slayer, why couldn't you be more like Ninja Kamui? Because
that'd
they
be
did
more like Bleach.
We got the flashback, and the character didn't die right away.
Yeah. Speaking of heaven or hell, so I'm going to this basketball game in downtown Pittsburgh on Saturday night, and there's like this guy with a big megaphone shouting, "Are you going to heaven or are you going to hell?" And there's all these people with these posters and stuff. It was like, it was so awkward. And they were bombarding everyone who was trying to go into the arena. So I just thought that was pretty funny.
So I kind of think on the whole, this was kind of a weak ending to the arc, unfortunately. If it had just been okay, they won. It's just a flashback. It's so long, and it's all about, again, it's the same problem I've had so many times. You get the big backstory just when the characters die, and then it doesn't. At which point, it doesn't really matter anymore. My feeling is this: if you're going to do the big, a character dies, here's their flashback backstory. It needs to like really. When I think of all the times that has happened and it's worked, and it's not many times, but there have been times when the character dies, gets a big flashback about all their motivations in life, and it worked. Every single time, it's because another character learns about it as a result, and then that information is relevant to them. Whereas here, it's just like, we, the viewer, find out all about this. Okay, but this kind of feels like it doesn't do much other than let someone put it on their, you know, on their page on the Demon Slayer wiki.
Ammunition for the Demon Slayer wiki, I guess.
So I don't know. Okay.
What is the Demon? By the way, what is the Demon Slayer Wikipedia called? Is it just Demon Slayer Wiki, or does it have a clever name?
I think the URL is actually, oh no, it's kimetsu-no-yaiba.fandom.com. That's the original Japanese name.
So nothing special like Hunterpedia or, you know, Narutopedia or whatever. nothing special about this one.
No, you just go to the main page and it just says Kimetsu no Yaiba wiki.
Okay.
So kind of a weak conclusion to the arc, I thought. But on the whole, I do think this arc was pretty decent, and definitely I liked it more than the Mugen Train arc. It felt like there was more things accomplished, more focus on the characters, and we didn't spend as much. And for as much as I complained about this being this big flashback for them and such, I'm pretty sure there are still less flashbacks in this arc than there was on the train.
I actually really like this arc, and you can tell because my rankings have put Demon Slayer in the top three. How many times? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Eight out of the last 9 weeks, Demon Slayer, including this week, Demon Slayer made it into my top three. So, I'd say that's a pretty good arc. And it actually got me to like Demon Slayer, which, you know, again, I gave it the 3-episode rule, and then I gave up on it. And now I came back to watch it, and I like it more than I did in the first place. So, good arc for Demon Slayer.
Okay, yeah. I do think it was a good arc, even if I did kind of complain some about how I didn't like this final episode. Maybe it's just because I am just so tired of all of the "I died, here's my tragic backstory" things.
That's Survivor now, too. Survivor, before someone gets voted out, they have to tell their tragic story of how they got to this spot in their life. And people hate it. I hate it. My mom hates it. And but that's what Survivor is now. So we don't really have a choice in the matter.
Okay. So we'll go quickly over Licorice Recoil, episode 10. So Chisato decides to close down the store. We then have... And then basically Majima's goal, we find out, is that he took all the guns and then he distributed them around the area and then announced on like the television to everyone, "Hey, I've distributed all these guns everywhere. You should use them." And then in order to cause chaos and reveal the licorice. And that's the big stuff. Oh, well, there is the other thing, because Majima kidnapped, I can't remember, who did he kidnap? It was another character. I feel dumb.
He kidnapped someone?
I thought he took someone hostage, and Chisato was going to have to go try to rescue them instead of handling the big problem that he's caused. That's why she was defying orders from the headquarters. I just can't... Which character was it again? I'm being all... dumb again. Wasn't it like the person, or at least he claimed, I can't remember if this was the actual case, but the person who like gave her the artificial heart, wasn't that it?
Okay.
That's it. So yeah, that was our episode essentially.
Yeah, not much to say about it, except that, like you said a week ago, Licorice Recoil, the second time around, doesn't seem as good as the first time.
Yeah, I still like it, but I definitely just don't find it as interesting. I don't know if maybe, you know, it's just a series that's better the first time around, or if I'm seeing issues I didn't, or whatever, but, it's decent, but it does seem a little weaker the second time, which is part of one of the reasons I'm kind of going through it a bit quickly. All right. So then we have One Piece episode 658. So, so we find out two things. Well, technically, we find out three things. One of which is that one of the gladiators we find out is actually the former king of Dressrosa, and the other, because they're all like the defeated gladiators are still being kept in that place, whatever it is. They all go, they like still seem to think highly of him, even though the general population doesn't. We do see one of the, one of them does get taken out and then turned into a toy, and apparently seems to lose, like, some of his, is being controlled somehow when he leaves. Like, he's like, I'm doing what they're saying, but I don't want to. So there was that. The other thing is that, we get some information about the Tontadas, their backstory, and then we... base, and then we get, it's fun, and then as usual we get the thing in the title only happens at the last 2 seconds of the episode, where it's a big surprise, the true identity of the toy soldier. So the toy soldier says, you joke about how it happens the last 5 seconds. This was more like 2 seconds when he just says, I'm Rebecca's father. And I'm not, also it says it, also the title says it's a big surprise. I don't know if it was that big of a surprise.
I said it was going to happen in the last 5 seconds, and then I backed off it because I'm like, wait a minute, maybe it is happening sooner. And then sure enough, I start to fall asleep. And then you're like, wow, he just did it in the last 2 seconds. I'm like, oh, man, I was right about it the whole time. And and it was very surprising that it was a complete shock that he was her father. I could not believe that. I was just blown away by that surprise. So, yeah, One Piece really, really got me with that one. So the episode as a whole, not really that interesting, really, just to be honest. It just wasn't that interesting.
I actually kind of liked it because we at least did get some information. Okay, so that one gladiator was King Riku. Okay, that was good information. That was, and unlike the toy soldier, it wasn't super obvious. Well, I mean, I guess the gladiators went by the name like Ricky, I think. So maybe it was more obvious in retrospect. But I at least we got that. We got some more information about like the people turning into toys and stuff. I don't know. It did. It just felt like we actually did get some useful information in this episode. It did not feel as padded out to me. It at least felt like there was more of consequence here than normal. I mean, it still got the usual sort of padding and pacing problems, but I just think that it was not as bad as it often is. So actually, let me see. How much did this adapt? This was it didn't feel that terrible. This episode adapted most of a chapter. Not all of it, but most of it, which unfortunately is actually ahead of the par for One Piece episodes nowadays. Or actually, when I say nowadays, remember I'm talking about these episodes aired like 10 years ago in Japan. So if you're talking nowadays One Piece, I think I've heard it's much worse. Okay. So that was One Piece. Okay. So what do we have next? We've got Yeah, we did watch Naruto. So we've got Shangri-La Frontier episode 17. So it turns out that there's another staged Weathermon they have to go through. So they start it out. So they're still fighting him, you know, have to go through a bunch of things, you know, stat boosts and such. There's actually a kind of funny bit where Katsu's given these things. What was it called? Like the cursed or the evil peas, or it was evil something. But then only after taking it, discovers, oh no, they actually drop your level every 30 seconds as a side effect. That was kind of funny. But then they are fighting him. Rockuro, apparently the necklace he got from Emil does something to Weathermon, which makes him stop attacking for a bit, and he says some things. Anyway, they basically, although then they keep fighting and he's still really strong. So, yeah, this was another episode where, you know, there was, when I was young, when I was in, like fifth grade, I can't remember the specifics, but I know, you know, you were supposed to like read a book and you were supposed to make some notes on it or something. And for what I remember, when I read Lord of the Rings, and for one of the parts where I read it, and my only note I remember I wrote down was just, this chapter had lots of fighting. And that's what I put down for it. I might be misremembering it slightly, but I know that I just used that phrase, lots of fighting, for some chapter at some point. And that was kind of this episode, but I still thought it was good.
Well, you did a lot more research on your books than I did, because what I did was, for my outside reading, I never read anything. And I would just go for the tests and completely, totally guess multiple choice through the test. And they gave you like what they would do is they'd add 100 to your score and then divide by 2. So the worst you can get is a 50. So usually I get like, you know, like a, I don't know, 60 or 70 out of it. And then I just make that up by doing all my homework. So by doing all my homework, it made up for the failed test. But that way I didn't have to read any books. So yeah, I made it through high school without reading any outside reading books, which I don't suggest that to anyone to do that, but it worked for me.
I remember, in terms of terrible answers I gave, also when I was young, there was I can't remember exactly what it was about, but there's this quiz test, and I like had no idea about any of this stuff in it. It was something about like science, and one of them was a question of, I can't remember exactly what it was, but I think it was something like, what happens if you heat sugar or something? And I, having no idea, but wanting to put something down, wrote in, it tastes yummier, with a question mark. Like, I don't know why I put the question mark, but
did it get Mark right?
I can't remember. I cannot remember anything about that. I'm sure I got it wrong. But I do remember actually putting that as my answer for that. This at least when I was kind of younger. If this was in high school, that would be embarrassing. Actually, it's already kind of embarrassing, but I was young enough. I was younger, so.
No, that's not embarrassing. You should see some of the things I did in high school. So, yeah, you're not embarrassing at all.
I should have done the thing in Calvin and Hobbes where Calvin asks Hobbes, what's a pronoun? Hobbes says, a noun that lost its amateur status. And Calvin just thinks and writes and says, maybe I'll get a point for originality. Okay. Did you have anything to say more to say about the episode?
Pencil gone. Yeah, pencil gone. I don't know. I like pencil gone. And the main character, Son Raku, I think his name is. I still can't get his name right after all this time.
Is it
Son Raku?
Son Raku is his online handle. Yeah, I can't remember his actual name. I just call him Son Raku.
Yeah, so he... yeah, his strategy, I'm not sure, is the best strategy to use, but I'm sure it'll work out anyway. And, what was I going to say? It was something, that SLF theater mini thing had this story about that girl who's in love with him. Who is that girl? Is she someone in the game?
So Rey, she's the one. She's not one of the three that are currently fighting. She's the one that has that goes around in like all of like the who's like basically completely clad in armor, and you don't see her face in the game because it's in a helmet. She's like the super armored character.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I thought it was a fun episode. All right, so then we've, I do want to say there were a few kind of fun things they did in the dub. There's a part where, I should have checked to see if this was how it was phrased in the Japanese, but there's a bit where I think Son Raku, says something about how, let me just make sure I got this right. Yeah, Son Raku says something about how, like, wounds in the back are a swordsman's shame. I saw some people commenting, that they think that's a joke, kind of a joke, because that's a line from it. Maybe this is looking too much into it, but that was a line that Zoro gave in One Piece, and and Son Raku is voiced by Eric Vale, who voices Sanji, who's kind of Zoro's rival. So maybe there's a reference there, or maybe I and they are just looking too into it.
America.
But there were some kind of funny, there's a bit where he like refers to, this was a good line for the dub, where he refers to Weathermon as Samurai Jackass.
Yeah, I remember that one. That was pretty good.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was the comment I wanted to make. Yeah, I haven't commented too much, but I think this series does have a pretty good dub. The voicing is good. The translation is good. Pretty good. A job on that, I want to say. So, then we got my teen romantic comedy, Snafu, episode 26, which is the end of the season. So, do you want to explain this one? I'm always really bad at explaining what happens in these episodes.
Oh, man. You have to give me the hard ones, don't you? let's see. So, basically,
I mean, do you want me to try then?
They go on a date together, I guess, at an aquarium, and they spend time with each other, and then for some reason, Hachiman doesn't want Yukinon to say a certain thing to Yui, and honestly, their dialogue did not make any sense to me. So I was, my head was kind of spinning, because I was like, this doesn't make sense. There's something missing. Oh, and good. I couldn't understand what was going on there.
I'm glad that wasn't just me.
So you felt the same way?
Yes, I was trying to figure out the way they were talking, like where they're saying things like, you know, something has to be resolved or they can't do things.
Right.
I was like, I was looking at that, I was thinking, is this supposed to be saying, like, the best, what I was trying to think was, is this all saying that they're both, is this saying that they're both have like a crush on Hachiman and they need to get it resolved? Was that what they were talking about? Because if that was the case, that seemed kind of sudden and or something. But that was like what it at least seemed like they were talking about.
I could not understand it. I'm serious. I was just sitting there like, okay, what does that mean? And I don't know. Is there any romance going on? It didn't seem like there was any romance going on, so I couldn't understand what was going on. So I was like, I liked the episode. I thought it had some good moments to it, but I was left very confused. And maybe it's intentionally confusing, so you go into the next season not knowing what to expect. I'm guessing that's the reason for it, that they want the next season to be like a big surprise. So maybe it will redeem itself next. I like the episode, to be honest, but just very confused.
Well, I just think it was kind of an annoying ending because it ends kind of abruptly on sort of a cliffhanger of I'm going to make a request. What's the request? I don't know. Tune in next season. And it's not an issue for us because we'll just go on to the next season. But do you know how long the gap was between this episode and the next season starting?
No.
5 years. I'm like, did you really have to do it like that? You couldn't have, I don't know, ended on like a more decent ending? I mean, it's one thing to do a cliffhanger if you're going to go and resolve it pretty quickly, but it's another one to end just like that and then not get anything more for 5 years. I mean, there's like a reason that whole, I feel like that's a reason why they, in the initial airing of the first season of ReZero, they did not have that final Who's Rem line because that's a super big cliffhanger and they thought we should have things be more conclusive. Oh, and by the way, just in case anyone's wondering, I might as well mention, for some reason, and this is especially notable because they just announced another season of ReZero. They had previously announced it, but now we know it's coming later this year. Somehow on Crunchyroll, the first season is not there anymore. They do have the director's cut, which is basically the first season with a few extra scenes, and the episodes are double length because they just kind of, you know, combine two episodes into one. Also, they put for some reason they put an OVA midway through it. So if anyone was wondering what happened there, if you need to see season one of ReZero, you look at the director's cut. It is dubbed. So yeah, that's the thing. Don't put in a big cliffhanger if you're not going to immediately go and conclude it. But yeah, this was just a very confusing episode at the end where they're talking around things like the evil villain group who, you know, like they're saying like, okay, the plan is continuing. We must obtain that in order to accomplish that so that he will be able to join, you know, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, unfortunately, I kind of wasn't that big on the episode, and that's why I kind of forgot a lot of, I was having trouble thinking of how to even describe it, because I didn't understand it. Like, ask me to explain to summarize the last two episodes of Neon Genesis Evangelion. I can explain the congratulations scene, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Anything else on that?
Nope.
All right. Then we got Full Metal Panic Fumofu episode 9. Do you want to do it?
I'll do this one. Okay. Yeah. So, we get a crazy fast forwarding scene where Tessa and her time at the high school goes by really fast, and we get to see Kaname and Tessa getting mad at each other and all kinds of stuff. But it's all been passed forward, so we really don't get to enjoy those moments. Then we move on into her last weekend, and she says that she wants to go to a hot springs, because of course. And so they go up to the hot springs, and Curse Weber is there, and he obviously wants to look at the girls, and he's got a couple of the other students who want to do it too. But Sosuke isn't having any of it, so he's set up guns to stop them from doing it. So I felt pretty good about Sosuke in this episode. I was like, you know what? I'm in favor of him here. He's doing what's right. And basically, they go for this extremely convoluted plot to get into the girls' bath, and Curse gets gunned down, and he tells the guy, I think it's what was his name, Kazuma or something. Yeah, he's telling him that he has to do it as his last wish, is to get a picture of those girls. And all that goes on, and he finally gets there, and he ends up face-to-face with Sosuke in a certain position, and Sosuke tells him that the girls and boys switched pools. And although that was predictable, I still found it funny. And it is predictable because I've seen it before. Hmm. But it was doubly predictable. But and now Tessa goes back to her normal life and goes back to being like a really smart person again, instead of this clutchy person that she was in Kaname school. So she's back to normal, and that's it for her. And I guess the rest of the season is up to Kaname and Sosuke to take us home.
So, obligatory. I didn't like the fact they kind of forced in some fan service here. I mean, it's expected on the Hot Springs episode, but it still was kind of annoying. That said, there wasn't as much as I was thinking there might be based on the preview. But I still didn't really like the episode that much. And I know someone might say, oh, well, of course, Michael, it's because of the fan service. You didn't like the other previous episodes that had a bunch of fan service. But I think besides that, my problem is that the episode is basically one joke for half an hour, which is that they try to do the usual, you know, peep on the girls in the hot springs, but Sosuke set up a bunch of, like, you know, military equipment to stop them. And mm-hmm. which is kind of funny, except it keeps just doing that joke over and over and over again. I feel like this is something, if this had been half the length, would have worked a lot better. But mm-hmm. it kind of wears out its welcome on this. I actually thought that the twist that was going to happen, though, was that the guys would, because of all the traps and stuff, they would have ended up stumbling to where they would have accidentally somehow stumbled upon where the girls were, except the traps would have destroyed all of their clothes, so they would have been the ones who got seen naked instead. The fact it didn't work was kind of predictable. That's just the issue. It's kind of the same joke over and over. Although, like, I will say, yeah, I do like that Sosuke did the right thing here. All right, so we've got three episodes left. Yes, three episodes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. The other thing is that I'm a little, as a more minor thing, these episodes with Tessa, the previous ones before this, I think they all made a good amount of sense if you've never seen Full Metal Panic. You can kind of understand the premise. This one, I'm just like, okay, if you haven't seen Full Metal Panic, you will be so confused about who Tessa is.
Yeah, yeah, really.
Okay, so beyond that, then we've got the last one, Dark Gathering, Episode 4. So they're the characters, basically, they were, as I understand, weren't they trying to go to, because they were going, yeah, they were going to be attending the college, right? So they were going there to look at classes and mm-hmm. stuff, I think. So they end up going to a sort of one about, you know, supernatural stuff, and they watch a video, except it's an evil cursed video that will make the person who watches it die, or at least more specifically, it'll make Keitaro, it hits Keitaro, and which makes it so that he starts bursting into flames, and they figure out that the way to beat it is that they need to force the spirit to watch the video so it affects that, so that it affects, goes back to the spirit instead of him. And they manage to do that, although it also requires them to be driving really fast to make the fire go out, such. And ultimately, they manage to get it all taken care of, and he survives all that, and that's basically the episode. So, also the teacher we see, he looks totally like Aizawa. I think that's his name. From My Hero Academia.
Mm-hmm.
Eraserhead, the guy who can disable quirks by looking at you.
Yeah, this was a great episode. I thought it was a cool concept and kind of scary, and just a good episode, I think. Mm-hmm. So, I enjoyed it, and I don't really have much to say. I liked it. So. Mm-hmm.
I think of the four episodes, probably the weakest, but I still liked it. We got some spooky stuff, we got some fun adventure stuff, and we got some funny stuff, and it managed to all mix together pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
So, yep, that's... I do think it was kind of funny that the plan is, okay, we will defeat the evil spirit by making it watch the video itself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it seems a more permanent solution than, I never saw the movie, but wasn't the way that you survived the curse of the evil videotaping the ring was that you just had to make someone else watch it?
You know, I saw someone do a creepy ring cosplay where... they literally had a projector putting up an actual screen, and the person climbed out of the screen, and it looked like they were climbing right out of the television. It was really creepy.
Hmm.
I
didn't see it. I remember a bunch of kids at school were talking about it. It kind of had the weird thing where I don't think quite as much as discussion as the Blair Witch Project got, which is kind of funny because when the Blair Witch Project came out, which actually another movie I didn't see, that was 3 years earlier, and we at that age we were like, yeah, wow, I'm surprised this many people at my age were actually watching the movie. The Blair Witch Project came out 25 years ago. I'm feeling so old.
Mm.
Anyway. Yeah, I don't have anything more to say about that. Just a fun episode. All right. Mm-hmm. So that's all of our series. I guess we can move into the top three rankings for them.
Yeah, so... first place is Dark Gathering, second place is Snafu, and third place is Demon Slayer.
Okay, so for me, let me just give them. All right, so I'll put them in this order. I'll put Shangri-La Frontiering first, then Dark Gathering, and then, you know, maybe I'm. This is just me grading on a curve, but I will say Ninja Kamui.
Okay.
Yes, those are my episodes then. All right. Anything, anything else anime related to discuss?
Yep. So as I plan to make a feature here on the show, I'm watching three things outside this show. The first two I'll go through rather quickly. I watched the second episode of that show with a really long name. Banished from the Heroes Party, I Now Live a Quiet Life in the Countryside. It was kind of slicey of lifey, you know. It was there were some interesting things, though. It is a little slow as a show, so I don't know. It's going to have to improve a little bit if it's going to win me over. Chances are it makes it past the three-episode rule, but further is still a question. Oshi no Ko, watch episode 3 of Oshi no Ko. I absolutely love this series, and so disappointed with myself for not watching it back when I watched the first episode, because it would have been fresher in my mind. But I know everything that's going on, and I really like this show. It's you know, hopefully it stays this good. But it has survived the three-episode rule, so there you go. The other thing I'm watching is the Netflix Cowboy Bebop. So we got episode 4. Oh, boy. Okay, so Faye Valentine, her dialogue, like everything she says, it's literally as if someone took George Carlin's 7 words you can't say on TV and they gave it to her as her script, and that's all she's allowed to say, because only things she says, and I'm not exaggerating, almost everything she says is some sort of curse, swear, or dirty word or offensive word. Everything she says is like that. And I'm like, that wasn't the Faye Valentine of the... She wasn't, like, that bad. I mean, yes, she was a rebel, but she wasn't, like, you know, threatening to sue people's balls off. And, I mean, they really damaged her character. And... they added things that weren't part of the original character. I unfortunately found out by spoiler that they added something else about her character that isn't true to the original. And just Faye Valentine is completely butchered. And it's not the actress's fault. She's just playing the role of what they gave to her. But what they gave to her is not Faye Valentine. It's just a foul-mouthed, angry human being. And Spike was a little better in this one. Jet is the only guy. Now, Jet, I have had some problems with Jet being, like, swearing a lot. But he doesn't curse nearly as much as Faye Valentine does in this thing. And it's not that I'm offended by swear words. That's not what I mean. What I mean is that her entire dialogue, that's all she says. That's all she says. And it makes her out to be a caricature of a character instead of an actual character. So, yeah, that they really messed her up. The plot was something that never happened, remotely happened in Cowboy Bebop, unless I totally forgot an episode where they had people turning into trees. I don't remember that ever happening in the original. So
there was an episode had people turning into monkeys.
Yeah, this one had people turning into trees. So, yeah, just a lousy episode. The show's gone downhill really quick. Like, the first episode was good, and then from the second episode on, it's been bad. But I can't look away, and that's the problem, because I kind of want to see this train wreck of how it goes down, because this train wreck might actually be pretty entertaining to watch. You know, we get to the end of the season, maybe it's going to be so bad it's awesome. So who knows? I guess I'm just going to have to stick it out for the final six episodes, no matter how bad they are.
Okay. Yeah.
Sorry. Sorry, I didn't mean to take up that much time.
No, that was perfectly fine. I was actually interested. You're sparing me the trouble of having to watch it.
Yeah.
I don't really have too much else, anything to really say about anime. So I guess that's it for our anime discussion. So if that's what you're here for, you can leave. We did both watch The Amazing Race, so if we want, we could talk a little about that. Although, unfortunately, I missed. There's some local thing that preempted about half of it. So I only saw the second half of the episode.
Yeah. So basically, a couple people accidentally skipped the roadblock and went on to. Or I forget what it's called, whether they went to the detour first or the roadblock first, but they skipped one of them and went to the second one first and ended up costing them a ton of time. But neither of them got eliminated. The team that got eliminated was the father-daughter combo, which I didn't understand. I didn't understand why they were wearing their masks whenever they were, like, way out by themselves. I'm like, okay, you're being a little too cautious there. But I kind of liked them. I felt like they could have been a fun team to have watched. There's not that many teams I find very interesting, so this might be a long season for me. Last season, I liked a bunch of the teams, and this season, I just feel like there's no one worth rooting for, so who knows?
Yeah, I, funny thing is that the team that was eliminated, they were one of the ones, not necessarily that I liked, but at least that I noticed more, but that was only because I noticed how much focus they were giving to, oh, wow, he's old, so he's not able to run that fast. I guess that means they'll be eliminated at some point. I just didn't think it would be this fast. So, I don't really have anything to add because, unfortunately, like I said, I missed half of the episode. Hopefully that won't happen this week. So, yeah, I don't really have too much to add to that, unfortunately. Sorry.
No, that's okay.
Okay. In that case, then, I think we're done with this episode. We'll see you next week.
Bye.